Hi, everyone, and welcome to English for You. My name is Joe.
And I'm Mike.
Today, once again, we are talking about female writers, and yesterday we learned about how, around the 19th century, mid-19th century, some of the most famous writers of that time were women who were publishing under the name of men. Because writing was seen as an unladylike profession. It was not something that women were supposed to be doing. In the eyes of society, it was something that should only be done by men.
Yeah, I don't really see how picking up a pen and creating stories in your mind and writing words on a paper is really a man's job.
No, it's not something we can really relate to in modern times, I don't think.
You don't need hair on your face or deep voice.
No, a beard does help, but you don't actually need it.
I guess maybe to pick up the ink.
Well, you can stroke your beard. It aids in the thinking.
That's true, yes. You look smarter when you
stroke
your beard.
You always look smarter and you look busy when you're stroking. But you can be doing nothing at all.
But a woman can be like, sort of playing with her ponytail, and she can look like she's thinking hard,
too. I never thought about that. Right. And I guess they didn't think of that either when they were coming up with all these lists of things that women could not do.
Luckily, as
we stated at the end of yesterday's program, we've come a long way since those times. But we're going to learn today that there are still some struggles that women are going through today in the literary community. So let's go ahead and get into day two of our article right now.
Reading. Writing in secret. Female authors and their pen names. The struggle faced by female authors in the past is still alive and well today. One study in 2011 found that major publishers worked with an overwhelmingly greater number of men than women. In fact, new female authors often need to consider this when approaching a publisher with their work. This was especially true for Joanne Rowling, author of Harry Potter. Rowling's publishers wanted to market these books to young boys. However, they were concerned that boys wouldn't buy the books if they knew a woman had written them. Therefore, the publishers asked Rowling to use a pen name. She chose to use the initials J.K. Rowling. In 2013, an author named Robert Galbraith published The Cuckoo's Calling. In reality, the book was written by Rowling. When the book's editor, David Shelley, realized this, he told Rowling, "I never would have thought a woman wrote that." This just goes to show that the need for male pen names isn't going away just yet.
Day two of our article starts off by saying the struggle faced by female authors in the past is still alive and well today. Remember the word struggle from yesterday? That just means some difficulties that you are going through, a hard time. So the struggle women writers were going through before involved just being able to use their real names and reveal that they were, in fact, women. And we're saying that this struggle from the past is alive and well today. If we say that something is alive and well, it just means it still exists and it is still quite strong, it is still prevalent, it is still here today in our present time. Alive and well is our shortcut for you for today, so let's learn some more about this phrase.
What are you doing next weekend?
I'm going home to my parents' house for the weekend.
Is there something special happening?
We're having a special meal for a ghost festival and visiting the temple.
Do you guys do that every year?
Yes, of course. I can't remember a year that I haven't done this.
I think it's really great that your family's traditions are alive and well.
Well, I wouldn't say that. It is ghost festival. It's all about our dead ancestors, and they are certainly not alive and well.
Well, if you're afraid of ghosts being alive and well, don't be. Alive and well actually means that something still exists and isn't gone or forgotten, especially when this is surprising.
Ah, so it isn't the ghosts that are alive and well, or 依然健在,没被忘却的. It's the tradition.
That's right. Hey, can you hear that?
Hear what?
Ooh.
Hey, stop that!
That was our shortcut for you all about the phrase alive and well. We learned that the struggle faced by female authors in the past is still alive and well today. So what makes it alive and well today, Mike?
Let's find out by reading the next sentence. It says, one study in 2011, so not too long ago, found that major publishers worked with an overwhelmingly greater number of men than women. So yeah, women don't have to sort of make up a fake name to publish these days, to use a man's pen name, but they still do face some struggles, face some challenges. This study showed that major publishers, well, a publisher basically is a company that produces books. All right, so if you're a writer, you go to a publisher. If they like your book, they'll print thousands of copies of them, sell them, send them out to the bookstores, and, you know, hopefully you'll sell a few. A major publisher, well, that would be a big, important publishing company. There are thousands, not millions, probably thousands of publishers around the world, but maybe, you know, 10 or 20 really big companies that the big writers will work for.
The really big ones in New York are called the Big Six.
The Big Six.
Yes.
There you go. And that's for America and much of the English-speaking world. I'm sure in London there's maybe another four or five that are important. So there you go. So these are the big companies that, you know, writers would want to work for. And they still work with an overwhelmingly greater number of men than women. Overwhelmingly is a much larger percentage, right? So if we're talking overwhelmingly, maybe it's like for every 100 writers, 80 of them are men and only 20 of them are women. It's not like 50-50. It's not half. It's not even close to half. It's much more men than women still get published by these big companies.
All right, let's learn a little bit more about this now. The next line says, in fact, new female authors often need to consider this when approaching a publisher with their work.
Really?
To approach in this case means you're going to perhaps send some sort of communication to the publisher and say, hi, I'm an author, I have this book, here's what makes it interesting, here's why it's going to be the next bestseller on the top of the New York Times bestsellers list. In other words, this is why you want to be the one to publish this next great masterpiece. But it says they have to consider this. They have to think about perhaps how they are going to approach the publisher. Are they going to say, hi, I'm a female writer, when they know that these publishing companies are mostly working with men? Perhaps they think this will harm them, or this will make the company not want to work with them simply
right,
because they are women writers. So this is something they have to keep in mind, in other words.
Absolutely. And this was especially true for Joanne Rowling, author of Harry Potter. Wow, interesting. So her name is Joanne Rowling. You might know the Harry Potter books and you'd say, wait, those were written by someone named J.K. Rowling. Well, it's the same person. We'll find out more about that. When something is especially true, when we use especially this adverb, we're saying that it's even more true in this kind of situation. We often use it with another adjective, especially true, especially my test was especially difficult. It's especially hot out today. It's even more hot than normal. The test was even more difficult than normal. So you're pointing out there's a little bit extra going on here. And if something is true for somebody, well, basically for that person in that situation, it was true. And we often use this to show that things can be true for many different people in the same kind of way. So how did Joanne Rowling become J.K.?
Rowling's publishers wanted to market these books to young boys.
Okay.
Market in this case means this is the market, these are the people that you want to sell something to. You're going to have advertising that is going to be presented in such a way that it will appeal to certain types of people, certain age groups, certain genders, and maybe not so much to others. So their target market was young boys for the Harry Potter novels, which is surprising to me because they seem to appeal to just about everybody. Men,
yeah.
Women, boys, girls, grandparents, everybody seemed to read these books. But when the publishing company first took a look at Harry Potter, they thought, we want to market or sell these books to young boys.
Okay, but the problem was, as the article says, however, they were concerned that boys wouldn't buy the books if they knew a woman had written them. Ah, I see. So if the boy goes into the bookstore and says, wow, that looks so cool. It's written by a girl. There's going to be kissing and all sorts of stuff like that in there. So maybe that's what the publishing company, the publishers, were concerned about. If you're concerned, you're worried about something. It's on your mind. It's causing a bit of problem and stress in your life. So, you know, it's something that you want to take care of to get rid of that worry or to get rid of that concern. So that's why they made up a sort of... It's not really a pen name, but they definitely changed her name.
It hides the gender, though.
Yeah.
J.K. could be a man or a woman. I mean, there's the actor J.K. Simmons. That's a guy.
Oh, that's right.
J.K. Rowling. That's
John
a girl.
Kevin or something.
Something like that. And this is interesting to me because when I was a young boy, I don't think I really cared if the author was a man or a woman.
No.
I was mostly looking at the cover and thinking, if that looks cool, then I want to read it.
That's
but
true.
They were concerned. They had some worries about this. Therefore, the publishers asked Rowling to use a pen name. Okay, so it wasn't Joanne Rowling who thought I should use a pen name. It was the publishers that asked her to do this, to hide her gender, I guess, or at least keep it a bit of a mystery on the cover. I guess on the back, you might turn it around and there might be her picture there, and that would solve that mystery pretty quickly.
Right.
But if you just saw J.K. Rowling on the front... which is about as far as most people go when they go to the bookstore.
Yeah.
It might make you pick it up and actually buy it. She chose to use the initials J.K. Rowling. Initials are just the first two letters in the first and perhaps middle names that you have. So, I mean, my initials would be J.W., Joseph or Joe William, J.W. What are your initials, Mike?
M.J.R. Tennant.
M.J.R. You have a lot of initials.
I do.
You have a very long, very regal, royal-sounding name.
Lucky me.
Lucky you. You sound very enthusiastic when you say that, too.
It causes problems on ID cards.
Okay. It'd be a lot longer on ID cards. They run out of space. But yes,
true.
This is why J.K. Rowling chose to use her initials as her pen name.
And of course, once the first book was very successful, then it wasn't so important, right? Because kids loved the books and they didn't really care if it was a girl. But I guess when the first book came out, before it became successful, they thought this is a safer way. And that's not the only time J.K. Rowling has used a pen name. It says in 2013, an author named Robert Galbraith published The Cuckoo's Calling. That's the title of this book that came out a few years ago. In reality, the book was written by Rowling. She actually wrote another book totally separate from the Harry Potter world. It wasn't about magic or kids or anything like that. I think it was a murder mystery. But she wrote it using a man's name, Robert Galbraith.
In reality just means this is what is real, this is what actually happened, in other words. So we have a name, Robert Galbraith, which is Robert, of course, is a man's name. In reality, we could also say in truth.
In fact,
the book was written by Rowling. When the book's editor, David Shelley, realized this, he told Rowling, I never would have thought a woman wrote that.
Oh my gosh.
First of all, let's learn what an editor is. We'll deal with the rest of this in a minute. An editor is the person who will help the author make the book better. He will look through the original manuscript, which is just the first version of the book that the author sends in, and look for spelling mistakes, grammatical problems. He will also
They're
like an English teacher. He or she will also look for problems with the plot, things that don't make sense, or contradictions, perhaps, within the plot. All those things, and they will help just get the book into shape.
To try to improve the book in little ways.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this editor's name was David Shelley, of course. That's a man. He realized that this Robert Galbraith was actually J.K. Rowling. Realize means you find out some information that you did not know before, something that was you were not aware of before. And then he said this, I never would have thought a woman wrote that. Wow, that's an interesting thing to say. That's a little bit sexist, it sounds.
Yeah.
It's judging writing based on somebody's gender, and that's what we would call sexist. When you judge somebody just based on their gender, it's like being racist or prejudiced, except with gender instead of race or instead of some other criteria.
That's right. It probably shows that David Shelley, I think, one, doesn't really think women writers are capable of writing many styles.
And right.
It also, I think, shows that he's kind of stupid, because Agatha Christie is probably the most famous mystery novel writer of all time, and she was a woman,
yes,
too.
Yes, she was.
So, you know, women have been writing great mystery novels for a long time, Mr. Shelley.
Maybe he needs to read more.
Yeah, maybe he needs to find a new job, too.
Yes.
Anyways, this just goes to show that the need for male pen names isn't going away just yet. Well, yeah, it does go to show that. When something goes to show or goes to prove, it basically is proof. It's evidence. It's a good example of what we're talking about. So even J.K. Rowling a few years ago in the 21st century still faced prejudice because she was a woman writing books that aren't really girl-like or lady-like. So it shows that people still need to open their minds a little bit more and realize that women can write books just as well as men in any style they choose.
So we've still got a little ways to go in terms of finding equality within the literary world, as we've learned over the past couple of days. We're almost out of time. Before we leave you, let's have our For You chat.
For You chat.
We've been talking about female authors and the struggles they have faced over the past couple of centuries in becoming accepted within the literary community. So let's talk about some female authors that we enjoy reading. That's what the question's about. What female authors do you like, and what books have you read by female authors?
Ah, a very, very good question. I read a fair number of books, and quite a few of them are by some female authors. Ariana Franklin is an author whose books I read recently. She writes mystery novels,
okay.
Historic mystery novels. They're very, very good, about a lady, sort of a lady doctor scientist back in the days of knights and castles in England.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
They're very good books. Unfortunately, I think she passed away. She only wrote three or four, so she's a really good one. And actually, I'm reading a book right now by a female author.
What's that called?
It's called Stoned.
Stoned.
And it's about the history of famous jewels and gems.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was about something else, but it's about jewels.
It's not about throwing rocks at
people.
No.
And you mentioned another one, Agatha Christie.
Agatha Christie,
another great famous female mystery writer.
I have one of hers on my shelf. I'm going to read it very soon.
And there's one by the name of P.D. James, also writes mystery novels as well.
As P.D. James is a woman?
I think it is. Pretty sure.
Really?
99% sure.
Of course, she is very famous, but I've never heard.
Perhaps she also used the pen name to disguise her gender a little bit, just like J.K. Rowling. So as you can tell, Mike and I read a lot of mystery novels by men and women. You guys can have a talk about this as well. What female authors do you enjoy reading, and what books have you read by them? Until next time, for English for You, I'm Joe.
I'm Mike.
Goodbye.
Writing in Secret. Female authors and their pen names. The struggle faced by female authors in the past is still alive and well today. One study in 2011 found that major publishers worked with an overwhelmingly greater number of men than women. In fact, new female authors often need to consider this when approaching a publisher with their work. This was especially true for Joanne Rowling, author of Harry Potter. Rowling's publishers wanted to market these books to young boys. However, they were concerned that boys wouldn't buy the books if they knew a woman had written them. Therefore, the publishers asked Rowling to use a pen name. She chose to use the initials J.K. Rowling. In 2013, an author named Robert Galbraith published The Cuckoo's Calling. In reality, the book was written by Rowling. When the book's editor, David Shelley, realized this, he told Rowling, "I never would have thought a woman wrote that." This just goes to show that the need for male pen names isn't going away just yet.
Vocabulary Review.
Major. Plastic garbage is one of the major problems facing the world today. Especially, Ben worked especially hard on this science project because he enjoyed the subject. Concerned. Etta is concerned about the exam she has to take in English class. Editor. The editor of this book changed one or two parts of the story. Realize. Leah realized that she was getting sick, so she went to bed early.